Welcome to M&A Access, the official podcast of the Alliance of M&A Advisors. My name is Gina Galusha. I'm the Executive Director of Memberships, and today I'm here with Emily Ackerman from Bennett Thrasher to talk all things Bennett Thrasher, community, creating community, and other good things like that. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into the M&A space.
Oh, God. From Dallas, born and raised, went to college in D.C., came back after school, and then spent the majority of my early part of my career in radio. And then that changed pretty quickly overnight because CBS got acquired. The radio portion did. And so I got introduced to M&A while I was in a completely different career profession. And so I was wondering why my friends were leaving every day with cardboard boxes. Like, they're not leaving on their own. They're getting cut. So time for you to also look. And so that's what got me into the accounting world. Fast forward a few years later, I started off at Carr Riggs and Ingram, and it just so happened one of the first things that I sold for them was something called equality of earnings. I didn't realize what it was at the time, but
you sold it.
Yeah, so I mean, I got thrown into it really early on, and sure, I had absolutely no background at all in mergers and acquisitions, but I kind of got thrown into it at the early part of my accounting career, and realize that what it really is a document that is involved with any kind of business that's needing to get sold or someone that's looking to buy a company. And I'm super ADD. I find it interesting what types of businesses are getting sold and who's getting sold to who. And I just kind of leaned into it where there's a bunch of different types of accounting services that my firms that I've worked at offer. And M&A just happens to be what I find more interesting.
Tell us about what you love about M&A. You said you love learning about the different companies, why they're doing what they're doing, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I love that it's wild how people make money, and there's different personalities with every deal that are different, and one company does not look like the other, and I find that to be interesting. It's wild that there's people that are just one-man shows that are making multi-millions of dollars. There's also just generational businesses. I find the family dynamics to be very juicy, and that's why I like it. I just find my industry as a whole is rather boring and rather stiff, and I find most people use really big words, and it's just a lot of just jargon, and it's a lot of boring stuff, but M&A is much more interesting. Sure, tax is interesting, and you have to know about it if you are owning a business or if you, like everyone in this world, has tax returns. But I don't know. You don't really get into a lot of drama or psychology or just, I don't know. I like the planning side of what goes into a transaction. I think that there's just more to it. You're not as much of a commodity, and that's why I really like it. I like the people, too, that are in the M&A world versus, and also the companies themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. I love that, the juiciness
it
of
is.
Family interactions. It's so true. And it is also fascinating to see how people make money sometimes.
Oh, it's amazing.
It is wild. It is wild and so much fun. The human ingenuity
mm-hmm.
that's involved and that you get to see and observe and grow and learn from is really cool.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Definitely. Okay, so you started at Bennett Thrasher just kind of this year, right?
Last year.
Okay.
Started in February.
All right.
Almost 2 years.
And you're director of the Southwest region?
Mm-hmm.
So where does that all entail?
Anything south and west of Atlanta, Georgia. But to be fair, I mean, just Texas alone is crazy. Just even Dallas, not even Fort Worth proper, is crazy. And so,
is it the Y'all Street?
Oh, it's a bunch of things. I mean, Texas, if it was a country, would be one of the largest economies in the world. I think top 10. It's pretty crazy.
That's fair.
And so we have every kind of industry and business here. My job is to build growth for the firm in these other markets. We happen to have an office in Dallas. We have an office in Denver. We have an office in Atlanta. And we have people in Florida and other states, but it's so easy to just build here and grow here in our own neck of the woods. Texas is one of those weird places where they want to see you and shake your hand, but sure, if you need me to go to a thing or if there's something that makes sense for me to attend in Miami or in New Orleans or any surrounding state, then I'll go.
But you're right. I mean, you talked earlier about the relationships, and it's a really relational in Texas. I think you're right about the people.
Yeah.
They like to get together.
Yes, they do.
All the time.
In person.
Yes. And I've seen you at so many events on your LinkedIn. You go to all the events and connect with them. So some of your posts on LinkedIn talk a lot about building community, making connections, being a people connector. Talk to me about how that came about and the ways that you find value in that and bring value to others.
My job is to be a connecting source and a bridge, whether that is for new clients for my firm or new resources. If I'm just twiddling my phone, my thumbs waiting for the phone to ring, nothing's going to happen. So you have to get out. I think a lot of people try to replicate what I do, but I do it a little bit differently. I think you can throw your marketing budget and your company name on any big event, but is it really that impactful? You can go to as many events and look as busy as you want, but are you actually getting anything out of it? I think early on you need to say yes to everything and go to everything, but there is going to come a point in your career, for all, as long as I've been doing it too, where you don't have to say yes to everything. It's to make new friends but keep the old, but you really need to take care of your people, and the only way to do that is by seeing each other. In the M&A world, people aren't just waiting around feeling like selling their business, or people don't just have the money right now to go buy another one. And you hear no in this world, in the M&A community, more than you do yes. And so the whole point is to be out, get out and top of mind for when these things do happen. And the only way you'll actually get real business in this town is not for what's in it for me. It's you have to care about what's going on with other people. And you never know where your next deal is going to come from. So if you think people need to meet, introduce them. I think so many people are just literally doing a checkbox of grabbing coffees and grabbing lunches. And I mean, I've been in some meetings where I literally am just pulling teeth, wanting to leave. This is such a waste of time. But then you do meet people every now and then that are amazing. And so, but the point is you need to get out, and that only happens if you have that sense of community.
What kind of questions or conversation starters do you use to make those interactions more meaningful, to find out what it is they're needing and make those connections for
them? Depends on the person. I think some people are a lot more stiff and buttoned up than others, and those are usually not the people that I have the best first impression meetings with. Obviously, there are people that are buttoned up and stiff that you can break, and you can see if it's more of just a they don't know any better. But there are some people that are just not interesting. I mean, I notice a college ring. I always usually try to look up a little bit online about who I'm meeting with, even if it's the bare minimum, like, oh, I see you're from Iowa. Or it doesn't matter. You need to have some backup questions always on reserve, because there are some people that are just, yeah, they're in this business world, but they're really not people. They've gotten probably spoon-fed books of business over the years, or they look like every other person who's male, stale, and pale, and it's just the same old jargon, no offense, where, yeah, cool, you went to a certain college and you play golf. Cool, you sound just like everyone.
Interesting.
And so I try to, I don't know, find something about you that's not where you blend in with a bunch of blue, black, and gray suits.
Or vests
with no socks.
That's true. I love the finance bro look.
It's a look.
It is the look. But it does make it hard to tell them apart sometimes.
Wear orange or some cool color.
What school did you go to in D.C.? That orange came to mind right there.
Orange is just a favorite color, but I went to American University in D.C. We are known for sports that do not matter in the South.
Well, I'm not a sports person myself.
Really?
So, yeah.
I am, but I just didn't have a school, high school or college, that had football.
Didn't get, no, I think it's probably the biggest issue I have in business is that I don't sport.
It's just a jersey and men hitting each other all the time. It's really weird.
Sometimes it's faster than others.
Sure.
And I like it when it moves. Like,
but don't you find it funny how people, like, their whole mood is persuaded by a t-shirt that people are wearing?
It's true.
It is. And people really care about their college teams. I find that odd, like in a culty way. But this is me going to a school that did not have such a thing. We were really good at things like women's field hockey and like rowing.
Right. Rowing in D.C. Oh, my gosh. So pretty. That's on my bucket list.
Why? It's the Potomac. It smells.
Well, I think I've romanticized it. I'm going to be
definitely
honest.
Have.
There was one time in Georgetown I almost had a dude convinced that I was capable of rowing and they would let me have a skull. And then he was talking about how expensive it was. And I was like, okay, maybe I don't maybe I don't want to take something out I don't know how to use. So we kayaked instead around.
Still exhausting.
Teddy Roosevelt Island. It was really exhausting, but it was beautiful.
Yep.
It was beautiful. No, D.C. is a great town
I love
to go
DC.
To school. So what made you come back to Dallas?
Family. Family's here.
Yeah.
And honestly, it was the tail end of that 2008 recession. An apartment here was $850 a month versus $3,800 in New York or Chicago.
I miss those
That's
days.
That's the real reason.
I really miss those days in Dallas.
Right.
It's gotten so much more expensive.
Everything's expensive.
Yes. It's so true. Okay. So building community, meeting people, and making connections to build that kind of value proposition of you.
Sure.
I love what you talked about in terms of, you talked earlier about how maybe accounting isn't that interesting unless you're an M&A.
I mean, it depends what you like. You either like audit, mm-hmm. you either like tax. There's mm-hmm. so many different routes that you can go in accounting. I just find that M&A, I mean, you can have a plumbing company that's $120 million. You can have this video game person who's making millions just playing video games. It's just more broad. And it's just, I don't know. I like the drama.
Okay, so I see you a lot at AMA events, and you've been around AMA for a little bit and go to conference and those kinds of things. What would you say is most valuable about the AMA community? Do you see any differentiators in it?
Compared to other organizations?
Yeah.
For me, locally, I honestly prefer the quality and not the quantity standpoint. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of organizations that really are obviously wanting to increase membership, but I think everything needs to come with intentionality. I'd rather have fewer members but have them be better quality. I'm also a morning person, so I appreciate morning breakfasts more than any other form of networking. It doesn't matter what stage of life you're in. I just would much rather get the big stuff out of the way, because when it's after work, this is pre-baby. And this is everything. I'd rather just go home. And sure, there's happy hours on occasion, but I like that a lot of the programming is in the morning mm-hmm. for me. But I'm also getting up really early every day to work out. And I'd rather
Good
just
for you.
Have my coffee with the crew.
So, I like that.
But AMAA has a lot of the same people that are in other similar organizations, mm-hmm. but it's also got some different ones. And so I get a lot out of it, but I think the value does come with it's more intentional with membership.
I love hearing that, because really, truly, we are. And then we always talk about quality over quantity.
Yeah.
100%. So what do you see coming down the pipe? What are you seeing that's different in 2025? What are you expecting in 2026 that you
I want see? A year of normalcy. Okay. I just want a year of no unprecedented events. You really can't use a crystal ball to predict anything at this point. I came out of maternity leave thinking, not to get political, Republican administration, we're going to be rocking and rolling in business. And then I came out of maternity leave mid-March to all the tariff craziness. And so I just want policies globally and nationally to not get in the way of business activity. I think we are very blessed to be here in Dallas. We are very fortunate to be in the great state of Texas, where business is a lot easier to get a going in general. But AI, private equity getting in the way of my industry is really affecting a lot of things going forward. And so what do I want for this upcoming year? And what do I kind of predict? I'm having a lot of valuation work coming in right now. While it's top of mind, I mean, the majority of the work that's come in the last few days, I think that's a key indicator. Just since I'm having a lot of valuation stuff coming in, I'm anticipating, hopefully for everyone, but at least for myself, an active 2026. But I'm very lucky that I can work with companies that are healthy and unhealthy. I can quite literally say yes to most things in the accounting profession. If you're pre-revenue and up, if you are manufacturing company, if you're construction, like quite literally, if you're anything that's not cryptocurrency, I can take you on as a client. And so in my world, I'm busy, but I can't speak for everyone else who's working for a single shingle. I can't speak for people that are working at places that they have to farm out a lot of work. I'm busy, but I can do more than just M&A. There's a lot of things that are even just estate planning that are involved. If you count that, there's state and local tax. There's technology implementations. There's stuff that's internal controls. It's not just Q of E. It's not just tax and audit. It's not just the fund work. And so I'm overall very busy, and I hope everyone else will be too.
That's good. Busy is good.
Yes.
So as a mom and a busy work lady, what would you say is your biggest source of sanity?
Sanity? Crazy times. The best source of sanity for me is my community. I think one thing that's really hard is when you're constantly so busy is to stop and reflect and have gratitude and appreciation for the people that are alongside you, whether it's constantly or whether it's even just a phone call or a text away. Been a crazy year. Just that.
It has been a crazy year.
Yep.
Yeah. It would be nice to have a normal year. I agree.
I just want to work out. I want to spend time with my friends and my family. I don't want to worry about just crazy.
Where the world is headed. What else are you kind of like reading, researching, podcasts? What do you listen to stay abreast of all of the things to come?
Oh, God. As it pertains to M&A or just...
Yeah, M&A to start.
I mean, I try to keep up with as much in my community here versus big and broad at first. And so thank goodness for DCEO, DMAG, Dallas Business Journal, all these things. I mean, I usually start local and then I build from there. But I mean, what am I reading and what am I interested in? I have no time, unfortunately, to be interested in other things other than family, my baby, my friends, my work. But when I do take time for me and listen to things, I listen to a lot of podcasts now when I'm going on walks. It's beautiful out. And so whether it's that Jay Shetty or whether it's this one person that I love whose blog is called Not Skinny, Not Fat. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. I mean, I don't know. It could be about pop culture. It can be about, I don't know, life healing. It really depends on what I'm feeling, but I am not glued to one particular book or news source or outlet. I'm very antsy and I can't sit still very long. And so if I'm even just pedaling my stationary bike, I mean, I'll listen to Howard Stern. I'll rewatch episodes of Bill Maher. I don't know. I'm all over the board.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
You started with ADD and I was like, yeah, girl, let's talk. So you talked about Dallas. What do you find helpful about reading those local news sources? You said a lot of the work you do in this area. What are the nuggets that you look for in there?
People don't do any research or have any memory about their people that they're actually prospecting. I think it's helpful when you know people that have changed jobs. I think it's helpful when you know that people are moving here. I think it's just helpful to be in the know about what's going on in your community. And if you work certain industries, you need to know what you're talking about. And so whether you learn about certain mergers that happen that way, you learn about certain companies that are moving their headquarters here that way. But at least I'm much more in the know about what's going on in my own borough.
Yeah, totally. I can see how that would be really helpful. I think you might be one of the first people I've talked to, but maybe it's just not something we've discussed before that's where you start, right? The local news.
Focus on your own neck of the woods. I mean, your network is your net worth to begin with. And I mean, granted, I'm not dealing with daycare yet. I will in January, but I'm going to see people at my daughter's school, and I see my coworkers more than I do my own family and friends. And so, granted, I have a Southwest region. I'm very blessed that just through my career, and a lot of it during COVID when it was virtual, and through conferences like at AMAA, I have a lot of relationships that are here locally, and I've met a lot that are not here locally. And so I take advantage of the fact that, I mean, I'm here. I need to care about here more than my other markets because this is where I live. Mm-hmm. And this is where our office is.
So throughout your career, you've talked a lot about what you do well. How'd you learn those things? What were the challenges that you came up against? What were the things that made you realize that you needed to do things a little differently?
I learned a lot of how to sell through my radio time. Early on in my career, I watched people sell the hardest medium, which is marketing and media. And I watched some of the best people, and I watched how the most successful people don't just sound transactional. They're actually storytellers. They give a crap. They listen. And there's a sense of urgency, and there's a fire under them. And I find, again, most people get given a lot of lists. They've had it really easy for them. And I'm naturally extremely competitive. And when I started off in radio, I wasn't handed a book of anything. I was kind of on my own little island because I think my person that hired me quit, or there was people on maternity leave. Mm-hmm. I was quite literally on my own island, listening to other people much more successful than me on the phones and what they did. And I just kind of ran with it, but I took it and made it my way. And I applied that approach to accounting, which hadn't really been done before. And I kind of shook it up a little bit. Again, I am not going to just get spoon-fed from partners. I am not going to just send you business because I'm going to get something out of it. You're going to... No, I'm not going to also do RFPs. There's no relationship to it. You're competing with everyone. It's a waste of time. And so I could do that, like most other BDs that get complacent and they have their salary that's not good enough for me. I want more. And you can create your own destiny, and you can get extremely successful when you take your way of doing things and it actually works. Granted, there's trial and error. I'm still trying to figure out the best venues at the best time to make everyone happy and not deal with hoarding cats and just the difficulties that come with people. But there's no perfect formula, but I've just kind of realized that what works is what works for me, and you like it or you don't. And it has been a way that works for me that not everyone can copy. I think certain people have their things. I'm not really a big video doer on my social media. It's not my thing. I don't have time to make my own podcasts. I'd much rather be out and about and have you feel like you are left out or missed out on it, and make it feel like I'm everywhere, because that's the point. You need to be top of mind. And so, yeah.
I think you've definitely succeeded in that.
I try.
You do.
Thank you.
You do. All right. And anything that has changed in your approach? You said you learned in the beginning from watching real pros sell something that's really difficult. Over time, is there anything that's changed in your approach of that kind of authentic Emily approach?
I think one thing that I am going to be better about doing is I think I do a pretty good job of taking care of my people and embracing new relationships. And I do think this year has been one of those really crazy years from like a personal life standpoint, where I've had certain people really lean in and be there for me way more than others. And I need to really kind of look at that from a business standpoint. And it sounds crazy, but even just a text message can really go a long way when your world's on fire and you're trying to be on at work. And so I think I need to go into the new year really reevaluating who's really there for me. Mm-hmm. Who's got the emotional intelligence to know that something, they can just tell what's going on with me without me even having to say anything. And I think I need to take care of those people.
Love them. Yeah, the thing that I try often is thank you notes, just handwritten.
I've done a telegram.
No way.
Oh, I've done telegrams.
How did you do that?
You can go online and Google, send telegram.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm. Very World War II style.
I'm gonna have to check that out. It'd be cool if, is it, it's not like ticker tape style, is it?
Wouldn't know, didn't see it.
Oh, well, maybe I'll have to send you one so you can see what it looks like.
I would love a telegram.
Yeah,
I find that romantic.
All right.
We'll not like that. But it is a handwritten letter. My handwriting is garbage.
Mine is too, but people don't care.
People don't care.
They really don't care.
No.
It makes a huge difference. It
shows effort.
Even though stamps are exorbitant.
They're so cute, though.
Stamps are cute.
They are getting more expensive.
Not as cute as telegrams, though.
feels very sounded music.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We're glad that we got to know you a little bit better and hear what makes you tick and so successful.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us. We are glad you're here and hope to see you next week as well.